So today we're going to have a recap of the Thaundaracharya series. We have two ladies. Nobody there yet to translate from. Four. Huh? Who remembers the homework? If you don't remember it, that means you didn't do it, right? First you got to remember it. Okay. No one. No one. Yes. Yeah, question and answers about the whole series, but also specifically I asked you to do what? Okay, I guess I'm the only one that did the homework. How has this Thaundaracharya journey influenced your relationship with Srila Prabhupada? If it hasn't, then I haven't done my job. or if it's influenced it for the worse, I haven't done my job even. Or I've done a job that's bad. So I'll start by telling you how it's influenced me. It's influenced me because I conceived of this when I was teaching at Mayapur Institute. That why did I say I did this? Do you remember why I said I started researching this seminar? You remember? But that was later. First, I was just teaching, and I didn't even know about that committee. I was teaching, and then I noticed what? Are we going to use the mic? Can you everybody hear everybody? Or people are listening too, so we should.
You saw that there is a need to deepen our relationship with Prabhupada.
Yeah, because my students were what?
Not living with Prabhupada.
They felt very disconnected from him. Or I could see they were too. They were very disconnected, distant from him. So then I started thinking, what? That means in a few generations, no more Hare Krishna movement. Right? If he's the foundational spiritual master, if his life teachings, mood and mission are the life and soul of ISKCON, then if everybody gets farther and farther away from Prabhupada with every generation, pretty soon, well, there might be externally some kind of ISKCON, but it won't even resemble what Prabhupada originally intended it for. So I thought, wow, this is heavy. I got to do something. And then, as soon as I thought like that, then Krishna put me in touch with his committee. I didn't even know existed. Prabhupada's position committee, right? And I said, oh, I'd like to do a seminar. What are you folks doing? Well, we're doing this and that. And I said, I'd like to do a seminar bringing everyone closer to Prabhupada. Oh, great, do it. You know, we could use that. So then I started doing it. Now, I've been doing it for 5 years, but I've been encouraged because I see since 2011 how the whole society is really starting to get this. Prabhupada's pivotal, foundational position more and more. Not that it wasn't getting it, but it was weak. Now it's getting stronger. You did take the disciples course, right? Okay, so in the disciples course, that's very clear. That's a big point in the disciples course, Prabhupada's position. But it also has shown me how far, ironically, it's shown me how far away I am from Srila Prabhupada. It showed me how there were many devotees younger than me, you know, not even in my generation, who are much closer to Prabhupada than I am. So it's been a real eye-opener, wake-up call for me. We have this saying in English, physician, heal thyself. All right? So I'm supposed to be the teacher of this, but I can see that I've got a long way to go, too. Okay. Would anyone else like to share how the lessons have impacted their relationship with Prabhupada? Has it at all? If it hasn't at all, then I'm very sorry that I didn't do my job. Yes, okay, we got a...
Krishna, I was just reading of Bhaktivikas Maharaj's book on speaking strongly by the Shri Prabhupada's...
What's it called?
Speaking strongly. Just a second.
Speaking.
In Shri Prabhupada's service.
Speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. Okay.
Yes. In this book, I connect with lessons also, like what is the points which are the same.
Oh, in his book and what I've been presenting. Yeah?
Yeah, and it's important that how we see, actually, like we see lesson about this, I don't know which was, 7 or 8, about how we see Prabhupada, his real picture. I mean, that is not like imaginary or ISKCON is Prabhupada, is.
Yeah, that's lesson 9, yeah, fictional Prabhupada.
I remember this the most because it's important that we really appreciate Prabhupada properly, that mm-hmm. how he spoke, how actually because of his love and his friendship toward these souls, he speaks so strongly. He speaks very, not like they want, but how they need, what they need,
right.
Like physician to the ill people, like this.
Very good, yeah. Because Prabhupada cared... He didn't care if something was not politically correct, or if, like, we gave examples of Prabhupada doing things, and it sometimes surprised people or even shocked them. Like one time, a mini-skirted reporter asked Prabhupada why he and all his followers shaved their heads. Why their heads are bare. And Prabhupada said, well, why do you have bare legs? He just turned it around on her. Why do you have bare legs? You know, she was saying, why do you have shaved heads? Why do you have bare legs? Better to have warm legs and a cool head. So that's Prabhupada, you know. He just turned things right around on people. Oh, there's so many examples, I'm just trying to think. Anyway. Okay. Have these lessons influenced your relationship with Prabhupada at all? I hope they have. Yes, Prabhu.
I was participating a little bit, and... I could see that the information, the whole program was kind of set for me to see that. I was thinking like, yes, this is Srila Prabhupada I like, this is Srila Prabhupada I love and I serve, and this kind of increased my spiritual identity, because our spiritual identity, Srila Prabhupada is the one who we serve, is our spiritual identity, is that we are servant of Srila Prabhupada. So I was thinking, yeah, this is good for my, gave me some motivation for to continue in good service, whatever good I do.
Mm. Okay, so it brought you closer to Prabhupada.
Yes, definitely.
Right. Yeah, identity. That's a big theme of this seminar, that we draw our core identity, our core relationship from the founder of Acharya. When I started researching this seminar, presenting that was very controversial. Why? Why was it controversial that I was saying that we draw our core identity and our core relationship from the founder of Acharya? Can you imagine? Because in ISKCON, what had people been doing? Drawing their core identity and their core relationship from whom? They're Diksha Gurus, who are crucial, vital, important. But what's their job? What have I been saying their job is? To deepen, enrich, enhance their relationship with the founder, Acharya. Yeah. So, when I started teaching that at first, everybody's saying, this is Ritvik! Just because I was focusing on Prabhupada. You see how far we had strayed from the center of ISKCON? You know? We're still recovering from the zonal acharya era. And they didn't even live through that, but they were still living out the effects of it. So, but then especially as our strategic planning committee, Prabhupada's position, you know, was doing more research and publishing the book, then it became mainstream. What had been controversial became the Siddhanta, right? Just because people started waking up to the way it works historically and you know, what's going to sustain ISKCON. But that's how afraid, you know, ISKCON had been of Ritvikism, because it wasn't owning up to the fact that it had caused Ritvikism, right? So it was like, this is Ritvik. But it's not. Yeah. But the more the truth comes out, then they say, oh, okay, it's not. It's Prabhupada as founder Acharya, not as the perpetual Diksha Guru. And everybody became less threatened. So that was kind of a journey for me, too, to see how people were responding to it from 2011 to 2016. Yeah. Any other ways that the series has... I'm just saying influence. I'm using a neutral word. Sometimes, you know, you could say it disturbed you. I'll give you an example. Harishari Prabhu, who's never been here apparently, he's been traveling the world.
He's here.
He has been here?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so he brought his Living Bhagavat lectures here? Great. So, because of he was blessed with the opportunity to serve Prabhupada as personal servant. He's been giving people a very intimate glimpse of living with his divine grace. So it's been unique, special. People like him and Shruti Kirti Prabhu were one of the rare people that had that opportunity. So he once, in one of his seminars, he said that after one of his seminars, a godbrother said, Harishari Prabhu, you know, these lectures are really disturbing to me. And he never heard that before. He thought, what? Everybody's saying thank you very much, and you know, and then here's a godbrother, a good, you know, a practicing godbrother saying, this is really disturbing. And Harishari looked at him and he said, why? What happened? He said, because I've always related to Srila Prabhupada in a very formal way, you know, as the guru sitting on the Vyasasana, and that's my relationship with Prabhupada. So to hear about things that Prabhupada's doing in, you know, up close and personal like that, it was kind of disturbing me. And Harishari was like scratching his head. He thought, wow, I thought this would sort of fill out his Prabhupada for him. But he said like that. But then over time, hearing more and more, this person changed his reaction. He said, no, actually, I'm appreciating now. But it's because his Prabhupada was so kind of set in a mold. And Harishari's information was kind of, you know, breaking that mold. It was disturbing him. So have I been saying anything that's disturbed you about Srila Prabhupada? And tell me frankly, because I need to hear it. This is the feedback that teachers crave. Room for improvement, right? And if everybody's just saying how great it is, then you can't improve. Right? So, okay, let me put it this way. Is there anything that you would have liked to have heard me say less or more for you? Yes, Prabhu. Let's give you a... No, we need... Yeah, we need it recorded. Well, this is where we are, you know. You got to be recorded. I'm recorded.
Actually, I'm very appreciative in the way how you explain everything, you know, because usually it's like this, you know, when the devotee they represent the ISKCON, they present only the best things, you know, how we are great, how we are the best, this and that. But you also show in the another side, you know, actually how we make also a lot of mistakes, especially of this guruship in the 80s, you know, who make really big havoc in the our society. It's still now, you know.
Now, why did I present that? Because anybody, any fool can criticize, right? So why did I do that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a lack of knowledge, of self-confidence, or maybe they don't want to show the truth of the some young devotee or something like this, you know. But
no, I just did it. So because we said we don't repeat that. We don't want to repeat.
Yeah, but we should talk about these things, you know, because more we will talk about these things, all these. That's it.
Mistakes.
Garbage and mistake will go away, you know. And
yeah, those who don't study history are condemned to repeat its mistakes. And then history has shown that even if you study history, people repeat the same mistakes over and over again, right? But at least we have to be aware.
And that is my one question for you. You know, because in this zonal acharya, not system, actually it's already finished, but this kind of thinking, it's still present in somehow, you know, in the some our leaders, this, that. That is my question. Where do you take this courage to talk?
Where what?
Where do you
courage
to talk in this way, you know, because I just salute to you, you know. Sorry.
Well, because we don't want to perpetuate that. I mean, here's a balancing point, that it's natural if a spiritual master has disciples and they're in a certain area, that anybody else who is preaching in that area has to be sensitive to what that God family is doing and their particular mood and mission within the mission. So it's natural that you have, like Prabhupada called this kind of branch of the Chaitanya tree. You know, anybody who has disciples, they're creating like a sub-branch, right? A sangha within the sangha. And they're accessing an aspect of Srila Prabhupada. Remember how I've been saying nobody has all of Prabhupada because he's too diverse. He's too vast. He's ancient. He's modern. He's strict. He's liberal. He's hard as a thunderbolt, soft as a rose. You know, he's focusing on deity worship and city preaching, but he's also saying we need the country ashrams. So nobody has it all, but in the well-rounded sangha of God families working cooperatively, then Prabhupada's first full mercy manifests when we're cooperating. So it's true, we can't be sectarian and just have these, you know, turfs. Right? Like the mafia has turf. This is my turf, and if you intrude upon my turf, I'll blow you away, right? But it's also true at the same time that people do have their preaching areas, and that it creates a certain kind of sangha within the sangha, and we have to be sensitive to that. So there's always a oneness, and there's a difference. But the overriding theme of Prabhupada is cooperation. So to do that, we have to basically identify as followers of Prabhupada, not as people of a certain zone. You know, that'll be there. This is like Prabhupada compared, for example, the different sampradayas. You know what Prabhupada compared them to at one time? Different political parties. And they're all presenting the Supreme from different angles of vision. But at the end of the day, we're all, you know, Vaishnavas, so we're all personalists. And Prabhupada said, just like different political parties, they'll present their platform, you know, and then there's an election and everybody chooses who they want to vote for. But ultimately, they're all citizens of the same country. So similarly, Vaishnava, there's different Vaishnava sampradayas, and they have different emphases. But ultimately, we're all Vaishnavas. Similarly, in ISKCON, we're all followers of Srila Prabhupada, but you'll find different groups. And instead of trying to eliminate our differences, we have to learn how to do what? What was one of the themes of Lesson 8? To love is to cooperate. We have to find our unity amid our diversity. We have to be able to celebrate how we're all diversely applying Prabhupada's instructions according to the different times and the countries we're in and the people. It's not a problem that we're so diverse, but to find the unity in that diversity, that's what Prabhupada said we should make the theme of every Mayapur festival, where the diversity is so intense. You know, everybody's coming from all over the world into one place. So, yeah, we have a long way to go. But we're on the right track. It's just very, very challenging. Prabhu, okay, let's stay on the. I want to keep with, you know, how this series has influenced your relationship with Prabhupada. You are Prabhupada.
I have like a related question.
Does it answer what I just said?
Okay, I can.
You can make it connect. I don't know if you'll be able to do that today. I'm on a countdown. I'll be out of here in less than 24 hours.
It obviously influenced him because he started to attend morning lectures.
But we'll see if he keeps it up, right? Okay, so how has it influenced you, Prabhu? You, holding the mic.
It's for me. It was. I'm very appreciative of this seminar. I think it's needed also. I mean, I know it's needed. It's helpful to me. Yes, you presented picture of our Acharya.
Founder Acharya.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was one of the main points of the seminar. Difference between Acharya and Founder Acharya.
Yeah.
And this difference was not so clear to me before. Yes, and about
okay,
so.
Good.
So I'm appreciative of this, of learning about this difference. And
Because Prabhupada did say when he started the Zonal Acharya system of continuing initiations, he said, yes, each of you can be acharya of your zone just to start continuing the initiations. And then, but then it became kingdoms, and that was wrong. Okay. So you feel you learned something about Srila Prabhupada you didn't know before?
Yes. I have this... I've always had this strange feeling about kind of mixture of fear and awe, and at the same time feeling his care about people in the West. But it is kind of mixed, and I think it should stay like this, because if he is not my thing for pampering our acharya is not here for pampering me as I am in my conditioned state, so he should be harsh and you emphasized this, how you cannot catch one aspect of him, but we should take him as he is, harsh. Out of care.
Well, harsh is not maybe the right word. Strong.
Yeah, strong. Okay. Yes.
Strict. Harsh
like
is kind
harsh.
Of.
I have
although it might feel harsh sometimes. But
yeah, I do. Yeah, like it feels harsh sometimes. But it's the problem of conditioning.
Prabhupada would scold us and say, "It's my duty to criticize you. Yeah. Don't mind." Don't mind it. This is the duty of the guru to correct. And the false ego doesn't like to be corrected. Mm. Right?
Yeah, harsh is not the right. I was mis.
It's all right.
Yeah, and also about this thing, it was very nice about this between Dikshism and these things that you pointed out these deviations and why are they a problem. And I was thinking about this actually, that I came to the conclusion, you helped me coming to the conclusion that it's all about gratitude, actually. If you put too much emphasis on your own guru, that you are not grateful to our Acharya, because if he wasn't coming to the West, there would be no gurus. And on the other hand, if you put too much emphasis, if you neglect your own guru, then you are not grateful to him for presenting and bringing the teaching of our Acharya.
Right.
So you are in either way, there is some neglect or some. If you go in either direction, there is some lack of gratitude.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it's all about balance, and. Yeah, and that sometimes in the name of Prabhupada being the foundational Shiksha Guru, people take that as an excuse to become distant from their own gurus. You know, oh, Prabhupada's... They take it in a rhythmic way. It's just me and Prabhupada. You know? But, and Prabhupada is the center. He's the pivotal person. But we... And I, as I said, I'm initiated by Srila Prabhupada, but it's not just me and Prabhupada. I depend, I need... So many examples and mentors from whatever generation to help me come closer to Srila Prabhupada. So he's the center, but still he's not the only person. You know, there's so many moons, many moons. We need many moons to shine through, reflect his light into the dark heart and the dark mind. So those of you who came in later were sharing how our 10 lessons journey has brought us closer to Srila Prabhupada. Anyone else? How has it brought you closer, young lady? Over here. Or how has it brought you farther away? I mean, I'm trying to get that kind of feedback too. How has it disturbed you?
I'm very thankful. Although I couldn't be on all the lectures, but this that I heard is mostly that I can see my relationship with my Diksha Guru now, also not just with Srila Prabhupada, but how to see in proper perspective this.
You better speak slower or louder too.
How to better understand parampara, you know, that we, how do we relate to our guru in relationship with Srila Prabhupada, that we don't like sentimentally or how do you say impersonally understand him also, not just Srila Prabhupada, because I'm here for a few years, and since I enjoyed, I listened a lot about fragments of this story that you told us so nicely and systematically, that I appreciate most, because I miss that a lot, you know.
Oh, the story about the lady? Which story?
The whole story, like, mentioned, like,
journey.
Yeah, since the 60s, and then how, because...
The history, yeah.
Yes, okay. Because I don't hear that a lot, and I hear also that the biggest problem in all this 80s, 90s, especially 90s, which I heard mostly where I joined, is that people stopped listening, following their guru, because they lost faith due to fall down of some big gurus, and who were here very, very much, like had a lot of disciples, had a lot of influence, and then this big atmosphere of mistrust amongst people.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm most thankful to you to simply put it out, first of all, and not to be, you know, make dramas or be like very, because a lot of people are still very emotional about it, or, you know, cannot go over it. but because they don't see it's without with Prabhupada. It's not just, you know, if my guru fell or whatever, I'm still connected with Prabhupada. And this is simply what I saw a lot, and you know, I mm-hmm. cannot tell more because I was not here in the 80s right. or whatever. But yeah, I am very thankful for this systematic and historic.
Yeah, Prabhupada created such a sangha that you know, say we do have problems with our authorities, our gurus. It's not that you know, if there's some drama or trauma, that I'm bereft. I have no more connection because there's so many moon-like devotees in the movement who can still help us if we reach out, if we take advantage of that. And I gave the example of your parents. Sometimes parents have a hard time, but there's so many uncles and aunties available in ISKCON, not necessarily available in the material sense with parents. I mean, in America, there's hardly a family left even, you know, so they don't have extended family anymore. But we have such an opportunity in ISKCON to reach out to extended family members. But yeah, because of traumas, sometimes people just lose faith in the principle of authority. That's so bad, because we need real. Just because there's counterfeit doesn't mean that there isn't real, right? Just because there's bogus doesn't mean there isn't bona fide. But we have to be sincere and serious enough to find the bona fide. Yeah. And Prabhupada helps us do that. So, yeah, Prabhupada is the center, he's the foundation, but we shouldn't use that, we shouldn't take that in an imbalanced way, that now we take some distance from our gurus. No. Not what it means at all. It means we need them more to bring us closer to Prabhupada. So I had all the lessons here with the, you know, the lesson outcomes, but maybe we don't need that. I just use that as something to use to spark questions. But do you have any more questions about the points in the seminar? The first lesson was the spiritual masters, you know, the guru principle. It was a little brief survey of guru tattva, which is a very vast subject, actually. And then the founder acharya principle, a special kind of, a rare, rare kind of spiritual master. Then how Prabhupada fulfilled that role like no one ever has. That was Sambandha, and then Abhideya was his mission's roots, his ISKCON branch, finding our mission in the mission, his Varnashram challenge, and finding our mission in the mission. And then Prayojana, to love us, to cooperate, fictional Prabhupads, your Srila Prabhupada. So, I just named the titles of the lessons. I don't know if I need to go back and look at the lesson outcomes. Because it said, by the end of the lesson, students should be able to, but maybe we can't. Maybe we didn't understand something. So, is there anything that you're still fuzzy on or doubtful of on the points? Do we need to go back and look at that? Or do you want to share any more about how the journey has affected your Srila Prabhupada? Jai Shri Shri Vanta Dhatma. What do you want to do, folks? Questions? I guess we just open it up. Yes.
Hare Krishna, sorry that I was not able to attend all your lectures, but I listened this seminar four times, whole seminar. This was four times, but I was listening during my service in kitchen. I was also listening in kitchen a lot of Prabhupada lecture, almost 95%, and I was always disturbed by the devotees. They don't do what Prabhupada wanted to do. and I was very happy that you elaborate on these topics, especially how to show love with cooperation, because we see that it's like in karmic words, few people are doing something and the other people are going just like in church, all just for Easter and just for Christmas in church, this is like. And how to combine this diversity and unite these diversities, also very good topic. And this Varnashrama system, how Prabhupada wanted to do when he saw, and then he built it on three levels, three parts of history, not just because people still doesn't understand that this is very important.
Do you remember the three applications Prabhupada made of Varnashram to ISKCON over three time periods? Do you remember them?
I meant this, yeah.
Tell us.
First, he wanted to establish just head for Brahmanas, and when he saw that this is not going on, he said, maybe we must preach to...
Well, why did he change? What was the transition from Brahmins only, ISKCON, to... what was the second? First it was forget it, and then it was, we need this for whom?
For people to accept.
The public. Because they're not understanding us.
Yeah.
We're distributing books, but they're getting disturbed, and their civilization, there's a hint it's not going to last long because the oil thing, you know, they need an alternative. So Prabhupada said, we need to show them a better way to live. And what happened with that? Nothing.
Nothing.
We didn't do it. We just, was all we could do to keep up with Prabhupada's order to distribute books. And then, what was the final?
And this 77-22 lecture, February, he said...
14th.
Why so much fall downs if everybody's Brahma, if everybody's Vaishnava? Vaishnava is not so easy to be...
Yes, you need it. It's not just that they need it, you need it. Because in 74, Prabhupada was saying, we're Vaishnavas, it's not that we need... But then he's saying, you need it. We're trying to be Vaishnavas. So... Yeah, because Prabhupada was really concerned that people wouldn't last after he left, especially the big charismatic leader. He didn't want it to be a personality cult, although his person was the greatest example of the teachings, but still he wanted it to be based on Guru Sadhu Shastra and an application of that would give us so much to do to spread it all over the world and get the world back to a more sattvic, balanced lifestyle. People want that, but they don't know how to do it. Neither do we. We're still looking at it. Okay. Prabhu, you just came in. How has this Founder Acharya series affected your relationship with Srila Prabhupada?
Hare Bol. It's very good. That we have that kind of...
No, but how has it affected you? And I'm not asking for, you know, compliments.
I knew some of this stuff before.
No, so but how has it affected you?
It's the same.
It's the same. Okay,
yeah,
then I haven't done my job.
Because I stay here in ISKCON because of Prabhupada.
Okay, but having gone through these lessons, has it influenced it at all? Have you learned anything?
No, I'm just happy that the majority heard that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I guess
I like this.
Huh?
I like this that the majority of people heard this.
And they learned something. How about you?
Yeah, I also learned that.
What did you learn? One thing.
I'm going to love Srila Prabhupada even more than I was before.
Okay. To know him is to love him, right? So the more we know about him, the more we love him.
Yes.
Yeah. Fast talking, that was good. Okay, anybody else? How has this journey influenced your relationship? I was really hoping somebody would say, well, this disturbed me. Could you explain that more? Okay.
It's
actually not disturbing you, but I have a question regarding Guru Parampara system. I really want to be more connected with this Guru Parampara system and knowing well about that, because this connects us with Prabhupada and other Acharya's uncles, and like this when we mentioned, because this is family, we need to cooperate. I wonder, there are other sampradayas also, and I actually don't know well about other sampradayas. How they are connected, because we need to have love with each other, but at the same time, speaking strongly about impersonalism, Vaitism. How you can explain this more?
Well, you're talking about the four Vaishnava sampradayas?
Yes, okay. I don't know well about that.
Well, I'm not that learned in them either. But basically, what we all share in common is that we all understand that the Absolute Truth is a person. That's what we share. Like if you go to Udupi in South India, whether that's the home of the Madhva Sampradaya. Now, they are presenting Krishna as a cowherd boy, and they worship him also in Dwarka Lila. He's also a warrior, you know, and he was at Kurukshetra. But if you start talking about, you know, Mahaprabhu's presentation of Madhurya Ras, they can't relate to that. That's just not what they're about. You know, they're really Madhvacharya. He had his mission to smash Mayavad. There's two, you know. So the different sampradayas, they're presenting different aspects of the relationship between the Lord and his energies and his creation. But as Professor Sanyal said in his book, even though the other sampradayas, they're correct, they're connected with Krishna, their presentation isn't complete, really. You got the complete presentation with Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu's presentation is finally the inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference of the Lord with his energies. You know, with Dvaita and Vishishta Dvaita and Dvaita Dvaita, there's different Sanskrit terms. You get different aspects. But with Mahaprabhu, you get the full. He's the Yuga avatar. So he's presenting the full thing. I can't present historically so much, you know, about the other sampradayas. But there are fellow personalists. And that's big, because the world is full of impersonalism and voidism. Somebody asked a question. You remember somebody asked a question? Maybe it was you, Prabhu. Who asked the question that the other sampradayas are the source of all the Kali Yuga religions? Who said that? I forget who asked that. Somebody asked that. I don't know. I never heard that before. But also, well, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between Krishna consciousness and the religions of the world? They're not really sampradayas in the strict sense of a siddhantic line. That's part of the problem. You know, there isn't really strict philosophy going on. So you have so many denominations of Christianity and of Islam and of Judaism, because they tend to speculate and then they fragment, and one speculation doesn't match the other speculation. So this is a basic point in our preaching. What's the difference between, you know, because we go to people with our books, right? Oh, I have my religion. I'm sorry. No speak of the English or the Lithuanian English. Say it slowly.
So you say, what is the difference? And I'm sarcastic. You say, do not blow up people yet.
We don't blow up people.
Putting the bomb.
No, we just blow up each other, right? That's. Charity begins at home, and so does dissension. So what's the difference between Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada presented it, and other... Wait. This person had his hand up first. Uh-oh, See, you went around the back. Now he's going to go around the front. Good. Now it'll reach.
I don't know if I am thinking right, but I think that other religious groups, they stress more about Dharma, and the goal of Dharma is heavenly planets, but we stress not on Dharma and spiritual world.
Dharma? What is Dharma is a many splendored word. What does it mean?
Religion, how to be good, how to help others, how to open hospitals. Mm-hmm.
What Prabhupada calls sub-religious principles.
How to feed the poor and so on.
Yeah.
Prabhupada said, if we know that we are servants of the Krishna, automatically we will serve all other principles.
Let me put it this way. What's a verse in the Bhagavatam, second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, where... the essence of religion is identified. You know this?
I know the essence of the verse.
Okay.
Second canto or first canto?
First
canto.
First canto, second chapter, text.
Yeah, I know this.
Yeah. Well, it's not just... I mean, they have that too. But there's a certain... Sanskrit flourish in there that makes it really separates it. Do you know? Well, that's 1.1.2, but that's good too. Yeah, that's actually good because it gets on your point. Dharma projita kaitavo. It throws out cheating religion. What's a cheating religion? Which allows us to do what? Which puts us in front of God. Yeah, it's a similar thing. Which doesn't get rid of our material desires. Really. In Kali Yuga, what we have to contribute to the spiritual conversation in the world is that we can contribute religious teachings and practice which is free of desires to enjoy the gross body. That's karma. The subtle mind, gyan, or mystic powers, yoga. Kali Yuga religions tend to be compromised by karma, gyan, and yoga. Just like in Hinduism, you know, one offense against the holy name is to think that what we're doing is karma kanda stuff, which is going to elevate us materially, right? Heavenly elevation. So real bhakti. And to get to real bhakti in the other religions, you really have to go to the mystics, you know, the Sufis in Islam and you know, to St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross in Christianity, Moses Maimonides in Judaism. You know, you really have to go to the mystics to get to the essence of the teachings. It's really about unalloyed, completely selfless love of the Supreme. And Krishna consciousness is not... bound by history. Krishna consciousness, God consciousness is eternal. It's the eternal Dharma, the Sanatana Dharma of the living entity. In the first chapter of the Gita, Arjuna was arguing on the level of Dharma. That's why he didn't want to fight, because it appeared to him not to be good, right? But Krishna consciousness separates the good from the pure good. Most of the time it parallels goodness, Krishna consciousness, but sometimes Krishna asks you to do something that appears to be outrageous, like kill your relatives. Did I tell that anecdote with Shruti Kirti? Kill your relatives? Wow, heavy. I was in Miami. And Prabhupada was staying at the president of the temple's house. And Shruti Kirti was the secretary, or the personal servant. And so I snuck around the back door of the house. And I knew Shruti Kirti from New Vrindavan days. So I said, Shruta, is there any service I can do? Because I knew Prabhupada was nearby, you know. So he said, yeah, come on in. You can clean the floor while I wash Prabhupada's plates. Prabhupada just finished eating lunch. And you can clean. Help me clean. So we were cleaning, and then all of a sudden, behind this curtain, there was just a curtain separating us from Srila Prabhupada, we heard a voice, Shruti Kirti, it's Prabhupada. You know, so he wants him to come. And then they start talking, but they're talking behind the curtain kind of in low tones, and I can't quite get it. So after Shruti Kirti Prabhu comes back, I say what we always said, what did Prabhupada say, you know? So he had a big grin on his face. He said, oh, Prabhupada was chanting in front of a painting of Krishna and Arjuna. You know, where Arjuna didn't want to fight. And he's sat down in the chariot. And Prabhupada is chanting. And then he looks at the painting and he says, very difficult job. Very difficult job. Krishna said, kill your relatives. You know, Bhishma, Drona. Hare Krishna, Hare. But he did it. He killed his relatives. That is Krishna Bhajan. Kill your relatives. Hare Krishna, you know. Now, so Shruti Kirti. Now, I used to tell that story. And then I met Shruti Kirti 22 years later after that happened. That happened in 1975. And then in 1997, you know, many years after Prabhupada had left, we met at a Gita Nagari Rath Yatra, country style Rath Yatra they have every year. And then I said, okay, Prabhu, let's tell each other Prabhupada stories. And of course he had so many more than I did, because he was with Prabhupada longer than anybody in that position. And then I said, okay, Shruti Kirti, I'm going to tell you a Prabhupada story that we were both present for. And then I just repeated what he told me 22 years earlier about kill your relatives. And he said, yeah, that's right, you got it right. But do you know why Prabhupada told me that? And I never knew this part. It's because just about, maybe a month earlier, Prabhupada had taken Shruti Kirti back onto his personal party, because it was a strange circumstance where Prabhupada's servant had to leave the service, and there was nobody else to be Prabhupada's servant. And Prabhupada needed a servant to go from Hawaii to Mexico City to Caracas, and then, you know, to continue. We were in Miami. Miami. So, but the reason Shruti Kirti had left Prabhupada's personal service before was because he left to get married. And he was married, and he had a child. When Prabhupada came through Hawaii, and Shruti Kirti was doing a restaurant, you know, Govinda's, I think. And anyway, the marriage was really dysfunctional. It was really bad. It wasn't working. And so Prabhupada, he never liked to see families break up. But in this case, Prabhupada, he actually insisted that Shruti Kirti come with him, even though he had a wife and child. Because Prabhupada knew it was really unfavorable for all concerned if they stay together. So Shruti Kirti, he finally surrendered and came back to Prabhupada's personal service. And this story was a way of Prabhupada encouraging Shruti Kirti that he had made the right choice. Yes, he killed his relatives. That is Krishna Bhajan. The same Prabhupada who day and night would preach, you know, Vedic wisdom, Vedic values, no divorce, like this. In this case, he broke up the family to save all concerned from a very crazy, dysfunctional situation. Yeah. So, I forget why I originally told that story. What were we talking about before then? Dharma, yeah. So marriage is, you have to be dharmic. And Prabhupada himself, when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he wanted to join the mission, just like all the other brahmacharis and sannyasis, you know, full time. But he couldn't, because Prabhupada said it would have been an injustice, because he was married, he had a wife and son. But it was it was a different time, different circumstance. It wasn't that it was crazy, you know. It wasn't, you know, Prabhupada never really liked his wife, he said, but it was dharmic for him to stay in that. And then later on he left, right? After 36 years. So how do you know what's dharmic and what's transcendental? Sarvadharma, Krista says, give up all the dharmas, right? Sarvadharman. For that we need help. It's not easily discerned. It's like in Australia. You know, there was once in Australia, there was once a big fire, right? Next or near the temple in, I think, Melbourne. Either Melbourne or Sydney. And the devotees became the heroes. They saved the day. Because the building was burning and people had to jump out of the building, and somehow the devotees rigged up something so they could jump into something. I don't know if they were saris and dhotis or what. It was some kind of net, just temporarily rigged up net. And so there was a big story in the paper how the Krishnas saved the people, and they sent it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, this is very good that we saved these people. So somebody might have thought, well, why are they saving these karmis? But it's just common decency. Your neighbors or their house is burning down, they're going to die, you know, you want to help them out. And it's favorable. People got a favorable impression of the devotees too. Okay, so back to the point here. How else has this journey influenced? How has it influenced our translator? Would you like to say something, Mataji? There you go. Now you can go around the back this way because it's... Yeah.
So, when I took a disciple course, I didn't have good impressions. I took online course, and...
Wait a minute, you didn't have good impressions of the course?
No, of the disciple course.
Of the disciple course, right.
Yes.
That's interesting. Because I took it twice, and I was reassured that they had a Founder Acharya accent, but it was too fast or something, or...
I don't know, maybe because I took online course. And then it felt like propaganda.
Uh-huh. And yeah, well, that's what happens when you don't have a person in front of you. You know, it can be rather impersonal or distant.
Yes.
You're just getting the party line, right?
Yeah. Like this.
Right.
Like this we need to know, and these are the facts.
Yeah.
We all need to repeat this. But so I'm happy that
Salute the flag and...
Yes, like that.
Right. Right.
So, but now I'm happy that through this course I could understand the whole story and all aspects, and then I don't need to feel guilty that this is propaganda, but I don't like it. Mm-hmm. So, because actually it's not propaganda.
Yeah.
It's all very logical and common sense when you present it in such way, in successive lessons.
Yeah, let me ask you something. I wasn't aware. I knew you could take it online, but personal showing up to pass it. If you pass it online, you can be initiated. Is that it?
Yes.
Oh my God. I've got it. I think we need more than that.
Is that bad?
Well, it's something, but it's... Now do you understand Prabhupada's position by the book? You know, but what about the person? Yeah. Yeah, we need more than that. And I think that's getting a little watered down. Even after they passed that resolution, there was a resistance to that. They try to get that repealed. You know, there was a resolution that before people can take initiation, you know, after Janmashtami 2015, they have to have taken this course, right? But then there was even resistance to that. Some leaders wanted to repeal that. I guess it was inconvenient or something. But I think, yeah, we need more. Firstly, I think they should take the Founder Acharya journey and then take the Disciples course. Myself, as it happens. Maybe I'm biased because I made this course. Okay, it's after 9. Is there anything else you want to say? Because today it's going to be tough for me. I'm doing a lot of wrap-up stuff on online and also personally before I scoot out of here tomorrow morning at right about 5. Got to go to the airport. All right. Thank you for coming. And I learned a lot. How much I need to come closer to Srila Prabhupada. That's what I always learn, actually. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.